The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. It's also on my desk. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. He is here. We are happy. Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm good. I had an interesting week. I interviewed a remarkable young cancer survivor who nonetheless has made a series of really serious mistakes that we'll discuss today. But look, to his credit, he's now a big-time patient advocate, and he's helping others to learn from his experience. So he's turned it all around. Anyway, his name is Scott Petenga, P-E-T-I-N-G-A, Petenga. So Scott was married, just newly married, actually 15 years ago, when in a moment of intimacy with his bride, she noticed a lump in his groin. Now, within days, he was diagnosed with testicular cancer, a rare one, actually. And that's where his mistakes really began, because Scott went to his local hospital in Reading, Pennsylvania, instead of a major research and teaching hospital in Philadelphia, like the Perelman Center at the University of Pennsylvania, where I have been treated so successfully. He just, the hospital was down the street. He went, and there he was. He's being treated then in essentially a rural hospital rather than a real top flight hospital. So that's really lesson number one here, Jill. If you or a loved one get a bad diagnosis, get on the internet, talk to your friends, find the leading expert on your specific disease, not cancer, but your specific cancer that's closest to you.
Since we are so close to two major metropolitan areas in this particular instance, would you do it more by word of mouth, or would you go, what would you?
I did a combination, and I'll tell you, I've got you two examples of exactly what I did. Now, this friend of mine was diagnosed with lymphoma, and she's out in Marin County in California. She had a pretty good doctor, she thought, right down the block. And I said, look, you know, get on the internet, talk to other doctors about who is the leading expert, who's running the clinical trials, who's the leading expert near you. So guess what? She went right over the bridge. The doctor was right there in Stanford.
Okay.
You know, yeah. That's and good. Today she's cancer-free from lymphoma. My example, I was diagnosed, as you know, with this blood cancer, multiple myeloma. I was being treated at New York Presbyterian. Now, that's one of the world's best hospitals. But I wanted the expert. So, again, I asked my doctor who the people that he looked up to. And also, I did my family doctor, and I got on the internet. And it's not that difficult. I found Dr. Ken Anderson. He's a leading expert in multiple myeloma. And there he was. He's in Boston at Dana-Farber. So Carol and I got on a train. We went up to see him. Well, Dr. Anderson kept my cancer under control for 6 years with one pill a day. That's all I was taking, one pill a day. And that was rather than going through an awful stem cell transplant.
Right.
It's really rigorous. So there were two examples, and it was done with the internet, but also with word of mouth and talking to your doctors and friends who've been treated. It's not difficult to find leading person. So the other thing is, and we've talked about this once or twice before, people always worry, oh, gee, the leading expert in my disease, he'll never have time for little old me. That's absolutely not true, because the biggest names, and this is in my experience and the experience of people I've talked to, the biggest names will see you, and they'll see you for two reasons. First, they're dedicated to treating people with your specific illness. They're going to learn from you to help others. They want to help you, too. Secondly, the seriously sick often represent $250,000 in billings. You're a dollar sign coming through the door. So pick up the phone, call them. You'll get the appointment. So does all that make sense?
Absolutely. And especially the encouragement to, instead of thinking yourself, instead of taking the they'll never see me, start with the why shouldn't they see me?
Yeah, they'll see you. Believe me. But the next mistake Scott made was trusting his surgeon. Now, remember, he's got a local surgeon here that he's trusting. And rather than questioning this guy closely, so it turns out Scott's surgeon had never before removed a cancerous testicle. you don't want to be the first operation. You really don't. So Scott now says, look, you always ask the doctor, how many of these operations have you done? And this is very important. When was the last one? So look, it could be that he said, well, I've done 10 of those. When was the last time you did it? Well, maybe it's 15 years ago or 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago. Things change. Methods get better. Learn from each other. So you can end up with a doctor who's done the operation, but he does it in the old-fashioned way. And that's really what happened to Scott. The incision that Scott got was 6 times greater than it need be. And, the deeper the incision, the longer the incision, the more pain you're in recovery. Worse than that, the doctor ordered 10 rounds of radiation that really wasn't necessary. And that left Scott infertile at age 31 with his bride. So Scott now says, look, no one warned him about the radiation, and it was a real blow to him because he'd always wanted to be a father from the time he was just a young kid. He always wanted to be a dad. So in the end, he and his wife resorted to IVF, in vitro fertilization, to have 3 daughters. They got twins and then a third daughter. And Scott says, look, it cost me $25,000 for the IVF. That's money I would never have had to spend if I avoided that unnecessary radiation. So you really have to talk to your doctor and very closely. Take the time, sit down with them, get all your questions answered, because there's a very important lesson here. Always question your doctor about the side effects. The side effects before any procedure, any medicine, before you proceed. What are the side effects? Honestly, Jill, I didn't ask as many questions as I should have about the side effects of my chemo cocktail.
And I was going to interrupt because the other thing is, when one is in the midst of a, let's call it a healthcare crease, you can be asking, but you're not receiving. You've got to have some sort of advocate. Somebody's got to be in there with you because it's just really unrealistic.
Yeah, that happens to me all the time. Carol comes when it's an important meeting with any doctor. Carol is with me, and Carol takes notes. And it's because I'm just too busy in my own mind to take notes. So Carol takes notes. Honestly, we both go out into the hall afterward, and she has to look at her notes to make sure what the doctor actually said, because you're in a heightened state of nervousness and anxiety when you're sitting down and having a serious conversation with a surgeon or your oncologist. So, yes, absolutely bring a friend, and bring a friend with a notebook.
Because you're going to need to, because otherwise I afterwards you will be going, wow, yeah, the
yeah,
side effect.
Say? Yeah. What was that again? Yeah. 2 pills or 3 pills? The drug that I didn't ask closely enough about as part of this cocktail, there were 3 drugs, and I didn't question my doctor closely enough. That left me with nerve damage. That left me with neuropathy. Which is, loss of sensation in my fingertips and my feet. Had I actually pressed my doctor on that point, I think my doctor and I would have done a little bit more research. We would have discovered that if I had taken this one drug with an injection rather than intravenously, I would not have any nerve damage today. So there's a benefit of being a real pest when you're about to have a procedure. Tell me again, what are the side effects? What are the outcome I can expect? When will I feel better? All those questions, they're critically important. So anyway, look, we've talked about all of Scott's mistakes here, Jill, but let's turn to what he's doing right and his good works, because he's doing some marvelous things. Scott says that back in 2004, when he needed the intense treatment, he'd just been diagnosed. His employer, this is Sovereign Bank, said he couldn't take time off. Now, look, this is under the law as I understand it. I'm not a lawyer, but I've been through this. As I understand it, a worker has a duty to inform his boss when he can't do the job, right? I'm middle of treatment. I can't do it. I need some support. Then the employer, I believe, has an obligation to support the worker. But in many cases, bosses just refuse to grant paid leave to people going through intense treatment. And that's just what the Sovereign Bank did in Scott's case. So what did Scott do? Scott I guess he could have sued him, but Scott quit. And he found a better job in Minneapolis near the Mayo Clinic, where he actually ended up getting better treatment. So Scott said, look, I was lucky. I had three offers when I put my resume out, one in New York, one in Atlanta. The other one was Minneapolis, and I picked Minneapolis because of the Mayo Clinic. So he's following the best path to get treatment for his cancer. And that really shaped his whole life and really his career. So he's still in Minneapolis. He's now getting special treatment for low testosterone, not in Minneapolis because Mayo Clinic doesn't do it. It's too experimental. He does it in USC and LA. So he gets in an airplane six times a year, flies out to USC for this treatment that he needs for his low testosterone, which has had a big impact on his life. So look, Scott runs a very successful ad agency here. Yeah, so I'm not making this stuff up. I mean, obviously, he has far deeper pockets than just about all of us. But the principle remains. Scott, he searches on the internet. He goes by word of mouth. He finds the best doctors he can see to help him. And that's the lesson you want to keep in mind. So, but here's the other thing about Scott and what I was very impressed with. He's not only thinking about himself, he spent $3 million of his own money to fund clinical trials looking for cancer breakthroughs, especially for people 18 to 40. He thinks the youth is a class that should be treated the same way we think about older people and the medicine. Older people need, doctors need, and researchers need to focus more on the diseases that affect young adults 18 to 30 and to treat them in a special way. So he's funding these trials. He says he spends 5 hours a day working on trials. And to his credit, he refuses to take any money from Big Pharma. No drug companies, no drug company money in his trials, because he thinks that would taint the results, taint the findings in people's minds. In addition, he's created the Fairy Foundation that grants the wishes of terminal cancer patients. You know, anything from taking the kids to Disneyland to flying a man to Florida to see the ocean before he dies. Now, if you want to learn more about Scott, go to scottpetanga.com. That's Scott with two T's and then Petanga, P-E-T-I-N-G-A.com. You may want to donate to one of his trials. That's available, whatever you can afford. You may want to donate to the Fairy Foundation. But most of all, I think you're going to be reminded of Scott's biggest lesson for us. There are good people like Scott who've been knocked down, but have never quit trying to help themselves and others like you. So good for Scott.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and the health correspondent for Parade. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcare detective at robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online, in-store, wherever fine, fine books are sold.